Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. Now, y'all, as we depart this utopistic season of Christmas, y'all, many believers believe, y'all, that our problems, y'all, will all be resolved by way of the new year. Y'all, we think this because, y'all, it represents a symbolic fresh start, a clean slate, if you will. That we can, you all, reflect on the past year, set new goals, and optimistically believe, you all, that with the turn of the calendar, we can, you all, make significant positive changes in our lives, essentially starting anew with a renewal sense of hope and motivation. Now, you all, the new year, you all, it is often associated with new possibilities and a chance to overcome past hardships, fueling, you all, our belief that y'all, we can resolve all of our problems. Now, while the new year, you all, can be a motivator, y'all, we must be mindful. Y'all, the calendar date itself, it does not, cannot, and will not solve our problems. In fact, y'all, as we mature in life, y'all, the most valid the verse of Job, the 14th chapter, the first verse becomes. Y'all, in Job 14 and 1, it says, "Man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away like a fleeting shadow. He does not endure." Y'all, all over the world, day in and day out, we find nonstop trouble and disaster and adversity. Y'all, I was speaking, y'all, with a dear friend of mine recently, and y'all, we were discussing a perpetual hardship that she had been enduring, you all, for years. Now, yet the very time, you all, when it appeared that that particular adversity was coming to its conclusion, you all, a greater tribulation began to raise its vicious head. You all know what my friend said to me. You all, my friend stated that she truly felt, you all, that God had placed her on his blacklist because of the timing of her misfortune. Now, you all, I shared this with a story with a dear minister friend of mine, and he visited with me the book of Revelation. Now, you're there, you all, he directed me to the 12th chapter in the 12th verse. Now, you all, in the 12th chapter, the first verse I have in my Bible, I find, you all, the word woe, W-O-E. You all, this word is highlighted in my Bible. However, the word woe, you all, whose definition means great sorrow or distress. Now, the verse in its totality, it says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, for he knoweth he hath but a short time." Y'all, at that moment, I realized something very important. Y'all, I realized that, y'all, because we sometimes face tragedies and adversities in life, and sometimes, y'all, consecutively and simultaneously, y'all, it does not mean that we are under God's divine discipline, or that we are on what we may think is God's blacklist, or that God no longer loves us. Y'all, more often than not, it's because of Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse, which tells us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wickedness in high places." You all, this is oftentimes, you all, the truth which brings upon all of us the unwarranted and unexpected storms in life. And because of this, please accept as a title of our message this evening, Surviving the Unexpected Storms of Life. Now, you all, our passage this evening will be coming from Mark, the 4th chapter. I will read for your hearing verses 35 through 41. And it reads as follows. "And the same day, when the evening was come, he said to them, Let us go over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was already full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, you all, whenever you all I read this story, you know, I often you all wonder, what kind of a ship, a boat, was Jesus and his disciples occupying? I mean, you all, was it an ocean liner? A medium-sized boat like some of the yachts we see on the coast of Florida? You know, or was it you all a small fishing boat? I mean, you all, I can only imagine you all how intimidating it must be. I mean, to be on a boat, you all, large or small, while in the midst of a storm. Now, you know, I personally have been out on a fishing boat a few times, and I've experienced waves, you all, that was caused by larger boats passing, or some fool speeding and churning the water, causing good-sized waves. You all, but back in Mark, the 3rd chapter, in the 9th verse, it tells us, you all, that Jesus, he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude of people, lest they should crush him. You know, Jesus, he was always prepared for the unexpected. Now, you all, the disciples, they did as Jesus requested. And when it was time, Jesus said to them, Let us cross over to the other side. Now, you all, this is not an unfamiliar scripture, for we have heard it all. We've heard it many times. Now, as I read it once again, you all, I ask myself these questions. Number one, what does it mean to cross over to the other side? Number two, what are the windstorms of life? Number three, will God let us perish? Number four, does God still still the storms of life today? And number five, why are we fearful? Crossing over to the other side. Your scripture tells us that your Jesus was from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Is that right? And then, you all, Jesus, he spent the next 40 days in the desert being tempted by Satan. And then, of course, he began his ministry, you all, in Galilee. Now, after John, you all, was put in prison, you all, Jesus, he went about the country proclaiming, The time has come. Repent and believe the good news. Now, you all, the good news to many, it was, you all, the long-awaited kingdom on earth. And of course, you all, the good news here, we find Jesus is preaching, you all, and bringing forth a whole lot of followers. You know, Jesus, he called 4 fishermen, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. And since that day, you all, Christ, he has called countless others to join him. You know, Jesus and his small group, they traveled to Capernaum, and they began to teach in the synagogues. Now, your people, they had never heard anybody teach like Jesus taught. I mean, the people, they loved him. They loved him, you all, because he taught with such authority and passion. I mean, it was unbelievable, you all, when Jesus called forth an evil spirit from a man who was possessed. Now, you all, Jesus, he really had the attention of the people. And his popularity, it began to spread quickly all over the country. Now, after Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, his popularity began even greater. Your people, they were bringing the sick and demon-possessed to Jesus to be healed. Jesus healed a man, you all, with leprosy and many others. Jesus called forth another man by the name of Levi. Levi was a tax collector. And as we know, you all, those tax collectors, they had the worst reputation. Your Jesus, he ate with sinners. He spoke openly with prostitutes. Your Jesus' interaction with the despicables, it angered the religious leaders. Jesus responded to the Pharisees by saying, It is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to save the righteous, but sinners. At this time, your Jesus, he was gaining more and more followers. Now, you know, although Jesus was gaining followers, you know, he was also making some enemies. You know, how many of us know that when we follow Christ, truly dedicate ourselves to him, how many of us know, that we are going to make some enemies? And if we don't know that, we really do need to know that. Why? Well, because it helps us to count the cost. Count the cost in following the cross. An upcoming sermon in the very near future. Now, the Pharisees, they questioned Jesus concerning fasting and healing on the Sabbath. These Pharisees, they were really just jealous of Jesus' popularity. I mean, they would do anything to hinder his ministry. I mean, they would try to sabotage, plant spies, exploit people, even lie while standing in the synagogue if it would help them to stop Christ. They were more concerned about their manipulation of the community as well as their personal gain than they were about the spiritual welfare of the people. However, Jesus, he was concerned about the people everywhere. Therefore, he said, let us go over to the other side. Jesus, he knew that there were more people who wanted to be taught God's word. Jesus, he knew that there were other folk, who needed to have an opportunity to repent and believe. Jesus said in John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through me. Jesus' command, let us go over to the other side. This command is just as relevant today as it was over 2,000 years ago. As ambassadors of Christ, we too must cross over to the other side. We must cross over to the other side of fear. We must cross over to the other side of jealousy. We must cross over to the other side of legalism. When we refuse to cross over to the other side, when we open the portals and we invite the windstorms of life to come unexpectedly. In verse number 37, it says, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. Be mindful, that in the Sea of Galilee, storm, they would come up quickly and unexpectedly. It's reported, that this sea in Galilee is 680 feet below sea level, and is surrounded by hills. Therefore, as the winds blow across and near the surface of the sea, they become violent and stormy. Now, as we know, in our home state of Florida, we witness these types of storms. We call them hurricanes. Hurricane Charley was a Category 4 storm when it hit landfall back in 2004. The same with Hurricane Frances and Janine. The storm, they did not catch us off guard because, the meteorologists, they were able, to track them and to warn us as to the path in which they would take. Now, these storms on the Sea of Galilee, I mean, they may very well have been compatible, but the storms of life, these types of storms, they often come, without warning at all, and they can affect us in different ways. Your unexpected storm, they can come, in the form of sickness. They can come, in the form of loss of a loved one, loss of a job, even in the form of fear. Fear of being alone, terminal illness, financial disparity, and the list goes on and on and on. The fear of the unexpected storms of life, they often lead us to ask the question, will we perish? Verse 38, it says, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said unto him, teacher, do you not care that we perish? Now, at first, this question, I mean, it might even seem silly, even stupid. But in reality, this was a very good question. I mean, this, storm on the Sea of Galilee, it was sudden and it was violent. Now, the disciples, they were taken by surprise. You see, they were not as prepared, as they thought. You see, many of the storms mentioned a moment ago, You know, again, they oftentimes, they come upon us without warning. I mean, we've all, you all read or even watched your news clips of the potency of these types of storms. An example, young people in the school building, a lone gunman opens fire, kills one teacher and several young students. 5,000 go to work at the Twin Towers, never to be seen again. Over 3 million celebrate New Year in 2020. By December 2020, all victimized by COVID-19. 13 Christians gather in a church building to pray and study the Word of God. 9 dies trying to help the gunman to know God. You're all these innocent people. They walked into an unexpected storm, never to be seen alive again. And you're all we can do is pray. Your God, he hears each and every prayer that goes up. You're the disciples, they were afraid, yes, and they needed to communicate with Jesus. Therefore, they awakened him. You're every person that faces the storms of life, need and want God's attention. You're, this is where communication through prayer becomes our portal to the throne room of grace. Your prayers of the humble are always heard by God the Father, and prayers of the humble are always answered. Today, you, O God, he still stills the storms of life. Now, you, O Jesus, he knew what was going on in that boat while he went asleep. But you, he was just waiting to see if these disciples would do something that was admirable. Would they claim his promises? Would they enter that place of serenity and tranquility? Because of the peace of God. Well, it appeared, you all, that the faith of these disciples was somewhat weak. However, you all, their prayers were strong, and their prayers were answered, as evident by Jesus calming the sea. Now, when we face, you all, the storms and the crisis in our lives, well, our immediate action, you all, is to turn to God and to ask him to keep us safe and to help us to weather the storm. Your God, he never told us, you know, that we will not have storms, trials, and tribulations. But he did tell us this. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Your God, he cares for us, and he still stills the storms of life even today. Now, you know, as we face our problems and tribulations in life, let us find solace in the story I will now share with you. You know, there was a young woman who went to her mother, and she went to her mother to talk to her mother about her life. And she talked about, you know, how things were so difficult for her, the storms of life. And she told her mother, and she said that she did not know how she was going to make it. And she just wanted to give up. She was tired, you all. She was tired of fighting and struggling. It seems, y'all, as soon as one problem was solved, a new one arose. It was like, y'all, if it ain't one thing, it's another. If it ain't this, is what? Is that. Y'all, her mother, she took her by the arm and led her into the kitchen. She then filled 3 pots with water. In the first pot, mama, she placed carrots. In the second pot, she placed eggs. And in the last, she placed ground coffee beans. She let them sit and boil without saying a word. In about 20 minutes, your mama, she turned off the burners. She fished the carrots out and she placed them in a bowl. She pulled the eggs out and she placed them in a bowl. Then she poured the hot coffee into a bowl. Turning to her daughter, she asked, tell me, sweetie, what do you see? Carrots, eggs, coffee, the daughter replied. She brought her closer, and she asked her to feel the carrots. She did, and she noted that they were soft. She then asked her to take and break the egg. After pulling off the shell, she observed the hard-boiled egg. Finally, she asked her daughter to sip the coffee. The daughter smiled as she tasted the flavor and smelled the aroma. The daughter then asked, what's the point, mother? Her mother explained that each of these objects had faced the same adversity, boiling water, but each reacted differently. The character went in strong and unrelenting. However, after being subjected to the boiling water, it softened and became weak. The egg had been fragile, its liquid interior, but after sitting through the boiling water, its inside became hardened. The ground coffee beans, they were unique. However, y'all, after they were in the boiling water, they changed the water. "Which are you?" she asked her daughter. "When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean?" My brothers and sisters, y'all, we too must ask ourselves, which am I? Am I a carrot that seems strong, but with a little pain and adversity, do I wilt and become soft and lose my strength? Am I an egg that starts with a malleable heart, but changes in the heat and under pressure? Do I have a fluid spirit, but after a death, a breakup, a financial hardship, or some other trial, have I become hardened and stiff? Do my shell look the same, but on the inside, am I bitter and tough with a stiff and hardened heart? Or am I a coffee bean? You're the bean, it actually changes the water, the very circumstance that brings the pain. When the water y'all gets hotter, it releases the fragrance and flavor. If you're like the bean, when things are at their worst, you get better and you change the situation around you. When the hours are darkest and the trials are at their greatest, do you elevate to a new level? How do you handle adversity? Are you a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean? We must not tell our God how great our storm is. We must tell our storm how great our God is. Jesus said in John 16:33, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Jesus expects us, to obey his commands and cross over to the other side. He wants us to cross over to the other side, to faith. The other side, to courage. The other side, to trust. As we close, I'm going to leave a word of encouragement for those of us who are in the midst of these storms of life. It is from an author who leave no name. And he gives the poem no title. However, the words are as follows. There are many different seasons in life that we all must go through. Times of God's blessings and peace, and times of hardship too. No matter what the season we find that we're in, God is there to lead us on and give us hope within. And when the season of hardship have come into our lives, we can be encouraged by God, for hope is found in Christ. For we know it's only temporary and will change as seasons do, though it feels like an eternity and we wonder if we'll make it through. But God's river of mercy flowed down from heaven above to bring to us refreshment and touch us with his love. So thank the Lord for his seasons, as different as they are, and for the growth that comes from them, bringing change within our hearts. So I say to us this evening, let us remember, we can and we will survive the storms of life. The greatest storms are those, that come unexpectedly, and the greatest battles are those within. But let us remember, that we serve a God, who has never been caught off guard. He can see the end before the beginning. So let us, trust in the Lord and be of good courage, for he will strengthen our hearts, and he will, and we will, survive all of these unexpected storms in life. May God bless you. May God keep you, is our prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.